It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I think this is important to point out for the viewers at home. Steve Bannon wasn't officially a part of the Trump campaign at the time of that now infamous meeting over at Trump Tower, but that has not stopped him from not only weighing in on it, but also from leveling some pretty serious accusations. And that left the White House today in a fighting mood.
Did the president's son, Donald Trump Jr., commit treason?
Is the president now blocking Steve Bannon?
How surprised were you at what you read?
An otherwise frigid day in the nation's capital suddenly turned white hot with controversy.
I think furious, disgusted would probably certainly fit when you make such outrageous claims and completely false claims against the president, his administration, and his family.
White House officials reacting to explosive excerpts that surfaced from the forthcoming book, Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House.
I know that the book is has a lot of things so far of what we've seen that are completely untrue. You have many people that have quotes that are sourced to them that are now coming out publicly and saying that those things are not true.
In the book, author Michael Wolff reports that the president's former chief strategist Steve Bannon described the now infamous Trump Tower meeting between the president's son and a group of Russians during the 2016 campaign as, quote, treasonous and unpatriotic. Bannon reportedly said that he believed that after the meeting, the Russians were taken to see then-candidate Trump himself. The chance that Don Jr. didn't walk these JUMOs up to his father's office on the 26th floor is zero, he said. President Trump has repeatedly denied meeting Russians during the campaign.
All right, that's the first part of Kevin Cork's report on Fox last night. Sandy Rios with you. You've heard about this, right? You know about this controversy. It really shook Washington yesterday, delighted many people that there should be a rift between Steve Bannon and Donald Trump, delighted a lot of people, especially Mitch McConnell, and I'll get to that in just a second. But what actually happened? You know, what is this all about? What's true and what isn't? Michael Wolff is an author. If you Google him, you can see that he's certainly not a conservative. He was allowed access to the White House during the early days when there was still a lot of chaos. And Steve Bannon said a lot of things to him, according to Michael Wolff, that sound pretty alarming. A lot of criticism of President Trump's son, Donald Trump, also Ivanka and her husband, Jared Kushner, and the way they're handling things inside the White House. He said something like, they're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV. When he was talking about if the Russian investigation started targeting Donald Trump Jr., which is what they were trying to do in those early days, if you will recall. So then, Steve Bannon, since he has left the White House, has done nothing but praise and support the president. So this was a head-scratcher for a lot of people and continues to be. But let me give you some of the details that I know about. By the way, in the last 24 hours, 16 hours, 15 hours, Trump's attorneys have sent Steve Bannon a cease and desist order over disparaging comments. He signed a non-disclosure agreement, as did other staff when he was at the White House. They're demanding that he refrain from making disparaging comments against the president and his family. And so then, of course, the president blasted Steve Bannon back yesterday with his own tweet. It says, Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Steve was a staffer who worked for me after I had already won the nomination by defeating 17 candidates, often described as the most talented field ever assembled in the Republican Party. Now that he is on his own, Steve is learning that winning isn't as easy as I made it look. Steve had very little to do with our historic victory, which was delivered by the forgotten men and women of the country. Yet Steve had everything to do with the loss of the Senate seat in Alabama, held for more than 30 years by Republicans. Steve doesn't represent my base. He's only in it for himself. Don Trump Jr. tweeted this. Steve had the honor of working in the White House and serving the country. Unfortunately, he squandered that privilege and turned that opportunity into a nightmare of backstabbing, harassing, leaking, lying, and undermining the president. Steve is not a strategist. He's an opportunist. I want you to hear the rest of Kevin Cork's report, and then I have other things I want to tell you about this. Let's listen.
As for the ongoing Russia probe, Bannon surmised that Special Counsel Bob Mueller is focusing his attention on possible money laundering involving Trump acolytes in an effort to ensnare the president. They're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV, he said. The president, who's not been seen on camera since returning from his holiday vacation to Florida, issued a blistering response, saying in part, Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind. Adding, Steve doesn't represent my base. He's only in it for himself. Bannon's suggestions in the book appear in sharp contrast to an interview he gave last year about so-called Russian collusion.
Look, I was there. It's a total and complete farce. Russian collusion is a farce. Okay.
The row over the book comes as another controversy was brewing over the president's tweet about North Korea, in which he suggested that his so-called nuclear button was bigger and more powerful than that of Kim Jong-un. An online outburst deemed by some as unbecoming.
President Trump seems happy with macho boasts and belligerent threats that get us nowhere. President Trump's foreign policy by tweet will not advance our standing in the world.
Back to the book for just a second there, Brett. The First Lady's office is also weighing in on this. Stephanie Grisham, the spokesperson for the First Lady, saying that this book is destined to be clearly sold in the fiction section of the bookstores. It'll sell nonetheless.
All right. Thank you, Kevin, for that report. Now, the book is called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. Michael Wolff, I have no idea why in the world anyone ever gave him access to the White House. And I don't know if Steve Bannon actually said those things. I read a little bit of the book because it's not completely out yet, but it right away just reads, reminds me of the Trump dossier the way it reads. It's just over the top. It's like gossip. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why they would give interviews to this man. It was a foolish thing to do. But then why are so many of the staffers in the White House that are there now anyway? You see, the problem is, again, as we've said before, there's a mixed group of people there, and a lot of them are never Trumpers or establishment who, from the beginning, have not wanted Trump to do what he said he was going to do. Steve Bannon wasn't one of those. He kept, you know, his was keep your promises, keep your promises. That was his theme. And by the way, Steve's response last night on SiriusXM, his Breitbart News Tonight, he said he praised the president. He said he is a great man. You know, I support him day in and day out, whether going through the country, giving the Trump miracle speech, or on the show or on the website. He did hit the, according to Michael Wolff, and if those things are true, he hit the family pretty hard. And you can imagine Donald Trump would not would not let that pass because he loves his kids. Steve Bannon then tweeted, well, the table is turning. I won't speak about who lost their minds or ever had one, but it's easy to see who will be played by the opposition party. We should all fight for the common goals and ideas we have. United we stand and divided we fall. Then he says, this is total fake news taken out of context, so don't believe the liberal propaganda machine. So, you know, I'm not declaring to you what Steve Bannon actually said and did not. I wouldn't know that. I just think this book is suspect. Michael Wolff is suspect. I don't know why in the world they allowed him in there. But this is this much I do know. The people who have a lot to gain from this are people like Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who Steve Bannon had declared his target. He wanted to get Mitch McConnell out. He wanted to get conservatives in the Senate. He's been on a campaign to recruit them. And I have to say, this is a terrible tragedy, at least for today. This is a terrible turn of events for conservatives. There's no question about it. Mitch McConnell, on his Twitter feed, at Team Mitch, you should see it. We'll put it on our Facebook page so that you can see it. It's just a gif of him smiling and smiling and smiling because he's so happy about what's just happened. I remember that Steve Bannon had targeted him, was raising millions of dollars to counter the Senate fund that funds, you know, Mitch McConnell has made it clear he doesn't want conservatives in the Senate. It isn't just Justice Moore, it's others. They have targeted for defeat It's happened before. Remember what happened in Mississippi to Chris McDaniel? Mitch McConnell has said he's going to crush, he said a long time ago when he called it the Tea Party. It's conservatives. So he is just beside himself, delighted. And I find myself wondering who presented that information to the president and what context did they present it to him about what Steve Bannon had said. Well, you can imagine it was not good context. And so President Trump ended his statement, Steve doesn't represent my base. He's only in it for himself. That sounds like something an establishment Republican would say. You know, they floated a rumor a few days ago that Steve wanted to run for president. I don't think that's true. Steve denies it. And so I don't think that that's true. But, of course, that they fed to the president, too. This is really a tragic situation, unless you like Mitch McConnell and the establishment Republicans. 2018 is shaping up to be not what some of us had hoped. Now, that's just today's news cycle. Lots of things can change. Maybe Steve Bannon and Donald Trump can reconcile, and the conservative movement can be united and move forward, and the president will have his feet held to the fire about his promises, but I don't know. Yesterday, the other thing that happened as a result of this was that suddenly the president, by executive order, disbanded the Voter Fraud Commission, led by Kris Kobach, and populated by at least three really fine conservatives, Hans von Spakovsky, J. Christian Adams, and Ken Blackwell, because these states, the blue states, have been refusing to hand over their voter information to this commission. So now the New York Times kind of gives us some insight on what actually happened. And what actually happened, according to them, was that this was kind of a Bannon project. Remember, the president complained about voter fraud, and certainly voter fraud is a serious problem. J. Christian Adams and Hans von Spakovsky and Ken Blackwell have all tremendous experience on this. We've talked to them about this. And Kris Kobach was a perfect chairman for that committee. So they claim they're moving it to the Department of Homeland Security, but my word on that is that's a terrible place for them to be housed. And I think many of the committee members are discouraged and may not go there. And I just think the thing's falling apart. Voter integrity on your behalf as American citizens has now been derailed by this dust-up between Steve Bannon because they perceive this committee as a brainchild of Steve Bannon. So it's a destroy anything that had his hand on it. So that's the news for this morning, best I can tell you. That's the news on that. That's not the whole news, of course. I think we should go to Catherine Herridge in clip 3 instead of where I was going to go. So let's listen to her update on national security.
According to the 17-page civil complaint, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and his legal team argue the Russia probe has gone beyond the scope of the special counsel regulations, calling Robert Mueller's investigation unmoored from the original mandate to investigate links and or coordination between Russia and the Trump campaign.
There may be a fair legal question about the scope of the independent prosecutor's jurisdiction, but Judge Jackson will decide that. The judge that actually has the criminal case in front of her is the one who's going to have the final say on that.
In October, Manafort and his business partner Rick Gates pled not guilty to allegations of money laundering and making false statements for their work in Ukraine. The attorneys are now under a gag order, but said at the time there was no Russia connection.
Those activities ended in 2014, over 2 years before Mr. Manafort served in the Trump campaign.
Writing in the New York Times, the opposition research firm behind the unverified Trump dossier called on Congress to release transcripts of their closed-door testimony. The co-founders of Fusion GPS said they do not believe the dossier alone sparked the FBI Russia case.
All right, so I'm going to interrupt Catherine, but I want to tell you that Devin Nunes reached an agreement last night with Justice and the FBI. They're finally, the deadline was last night. They finally say they're going to turn over everything that the committee is requesting on that dossier. We'll see. We'll see if they actually do that. I'm also hearing that Andrew McCabe is being recruited to run as a Democrat in Virginia for House of Representatives. Andrew McCabe, the disgraced FBI assistant in charge of the FBI. Do I need to fill in the blanks? I don't have time to fill in those blanks, but that's a shocking report. We're going to open the phone lines today because so much news, and I bet you have some things that you'd like to say. 888-589-8840 is the number, 888-589-8840.
Here's some great news, and we could all use some great news for 2018.
If you're worried about your healthcare costs or you feel like you're missing out because open enrollment is over, well, it's not too late to join MediShare. You can sign up anytime, and think about this. The typical savings for a family with MediShare is about $500 a month. Think what a difference that would make to your budget. Again, that $500 a month is the typical savings. It could be more or less for you. Definitely worth taking a couple minutes to find out. There are over 300,000 MediShare members sharing each other's medical bills, and something they're now loving, MediShare has a telehealth program that lets you log in and meet with a doctor in real time within the comfort of your own home. For everything from a cold or flu or for a prescription, you can save a lot of time and money, and it's free. Again, open enrollment might be over, but you can still join MediShare. Here's the number to find out more. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
For decades, free speech rights have been restricted by the courts only through neutral regulations, such as decibel levels permitted for demonstrations. Well, now, the state of Maine has passed a noise statute which punishes only those demonstrators who might prevent an establishment from carrying out its services. An example would be that pro-abortion demonstrators get a pass, while pro-life demonstrators are punished while demonstrating in front of a Planned Parenthood office. Well, Pacific Justice Institute has joined several other pro-life groups in an amicus brief before the U.S. Supreme Court.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A war of words has erupted between President Trump and his former advisor, Steve Bannon. Bannon levied a brutal takedown of the president's son, Don Jr., along with son-in-law, Jared Kushner, claiming the pair engaged in unpatriotic and treasonous behavior at Trump Tower, meeting with a Russian lawyer who claimed to have dirt on Hillary Clinton. President Trump says Bannon not only lost his job, but he lost his mind. Bannon's comments were included in an explosive book about the Trump presidency written by Michael Wolff of Vanity Fair fame. Mr. Wolff alleges Trump never thought he would win the White House, had no aspirations to win. He also charges First Lady Melania Trump was so despondent when he won, accusations the White House strongly denies. Regardless, it appears the Republican Party is now splintered into three groups: pro-Trumpers, never-Trumpers, and Bannonites. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I think furious, disgusted would probably certainly fit when you make such outrageous claims and completely false claims against the president, his administration, and his family. I know that the book is has a lot of things so far of what we've seen that are completely untrue. You have many people that have quotes that are sourced to them that are now coming out publicly and saying that those things are not true.
All right, that was Sarah Huckabee Sanders talking about that book that we've been talking about, Fire and Fury, which is coming out in a few days, by Michael Wolff, inside the Trump White House, in which Steve Bannon allegedly said the things that he said, criticizing Trump's daughter Ivanka, her husband Jared, and some criticism of Don Jr. I'm not sure when he said that they would break Don Jr. like an egg. I'm not sure that that was such a criticism, but Don Jr. took it as such, and so did the president, and so he's furious with Steve Bannon. So there you go. And the repercussions on the 2018 elections are pretty serious, because Steve Bannon was leading the charge for identifying and funding conservative candidates as a counter to Mitch McConnell's attempt to get rid of conservative candidates. So we're kind of in a serious situation. We're going to go to the phone lines. Our phone is 888-589-8840. Happy to talk to you about any of this. 888-589-8840. Before I go to the phone lines, though, let me just say we've gotten some, you know, I always enjoy hearing from you, always, even if you disagree. It's I don't mind. That's what makes good dialogue. And if you can't defend your position, then you shouldn't hold it. That's my motto. Lots of wonderful comments about our Christmas show, which were very kind. I love doing that. I don't know if you, many of you actually got to hear it. If you haven't, it's, of course, if it's not Christmas, but if you want to hear it online, it really was, the music was just, I loved it. I loved the music, and I enjoyed doing that. It was refreshing to me. In fact, Rebecca writes and says, thank you for your Christmas program. How refreshing. And then Gwen says, where would we be without Christian radio? And she said some very nice things. I don't like to read your praise of me because heaven knows I don't, that just doesn't seem appropriate to me, but I do hear it and I do appreciate it. And thank you for that. Someone else said, Joyce said, thank you for your beautiful program this morning. The songs you played were beyond beautiful. Thank you and Merry Christmas, and on it goes. So, this is cool. This is from Lillian. She says, I discovered your radio show 5 months ago. Now I listen to you 5 days a week with interest and joy. I'm a new Christian with lots to learn. Thank you for keeping us informed of the complexities in Washington. Bless you, Lillian. Lillian, it's just a thrill. I mean, it's a thrill, honestly, an honor to have you listening. I take this very seriously. It's a trust that God has placed in me that I don't plan to abuse. So I'm so grateful that you are listening. And Michael says, now that Judge Moore's Senate bid has been tanked, I'm hearing nothing more about his accusers and the current happenings. Please keep us informed. Well, Michael, you know that his opponent was sworn in yesterday, I think it was. And so Judge Moore has, he is not going to be the senator from Alabama. I don't think there's going to be any challenge. There wasn't enough discrepancy in the voting. I didn't hear the numbers, the follow-up on that, but I think he's been resoundingly defeated. And my prayer in that situation is that his personal integrity, which is great, will be able to, because this is what happens. We cannot answer all our critics, and we cannot fight all of the hatred that comes our way, people that are in the public eye, all the accusations. And so you have to live. Someone told me this a long time ago, and I've tried to adhere to this. Live in a way that disproves all of the allegations and the hateful things that are said about you. And that's what Justice Moore now will do. I know he'll do that because that is the way he lives. So we'll see. Stay tuned to what happens in Alabama. But Doug Jones was sworn in yesterday, so he's the new senator from Alabama, and that's the update on that. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Philip in Texas. Good morning, Philip.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. Okay, so what's on your mind?
I was just wondering how in good faith a Christian could support Donald Trump. And I've just been listening to the show a little bit. You talk about the Alabama race. I don't really know how any good Christian could support any person with such allegations, as you point out. The evidence that's come out against Donald Trump and what he's actually said, it's really damning to me in my eyes. It's, I don't know. I've met a lot of people that they didn't support Donald Trump. They were forced to vote for an alternative party, I don't really know. They never really get into that. They just say they didn't vote for Donald. They didn't vote for Hillary. So, just one thing that always pops in my mind, because I always, yeah. I'm not necessarily Christian. I like to listen to these shows just to get as much perspective as I can.
Well, Philip, I'm glad you called. And this is a very good discussion. And it's certainly, you need a response to this. And I'm happy to do my best to give you one. First of all, in the matter of Judge Moore, let me address that quickly. I've talked about him a ton. And if I can't go over that ground again, because I want to spend our time talking about Donald Trump, but I would say this to you. Do you think it's possible that a woman could accuse you of doing something any time in your life that you might not want to be made public? And could, is it possible that an accuser might, a former girlfriend or a neighbor or a coworker, could accuse you falsely of something? Is that possible, you think?
Well, anything's possible. A man could do that too, but I don't understand why anyone would make that public. Why would you want your personal life made public? Would you want to be shamed in the public as a woman, like how she probably is being? Oh my gosh, I can't believe her. Why
well,
would
Philip,
she do that?
Yeah, so, you know what, so Philip, I tracked. I don't have time to go over all those accusers, but trust me. If you have a real interest in this and you really want to know, if you go back in on our Facebook page, on our files, I track down and I talk about all the accusers, things that you never heard in the news media that were not reported. The thing, like the woman that accused him of trying to rape her, we found out that he was the judge in her divorce decree, and that signature in her yearbook was lifted from the divorce decree. It was a total fraud. People that worked in the restaurant never knew who she was. The way she described the layout of the restaurant wasn't the way it was laid out. That's just one situation that I'm sure you don't know about that. I happen to know Judge Moore personally, and I know he's a man of integrity, and there's a ton of other things I could say about that. But my point and the question for you is that you know darn well that you probably have an old girlfriend or an old acquaintance or some neighbor or some person that you worked for that could say anything about you. It might be true and it might not. It could destroy your life, Philip, and so you have to be careful about the integrity of people making that accusation. And if you saw the women's march with the women wearing those, really disgraceful hats, they don't. Some women don't have any pride anymore. They're not ashamed of things like that. They're not. They have no shame.
I think I'd like to give them a little more credit than that.
Why? Do you know them? Why would you? I don't. I'm a woman, and Philip.
Okay, because I have a fundamental belief that humans aren't evil at nature. They're not inherently bad.
Okay, so, Philip, let me stop you for a second. Do you have any kids?
Do I want kids?
No. Do you have any kids?
Oh, no, I do not.
Okay, well, do you have any nieces or nephews, little brothers, little sisters?
I know the appeal to emotion, and I know...
No, answer my question. Do you have any nieces and nephews or little brothers that you've watched grow up?
I have family, yes.
Okay. Have you ever watched a two-year-old and have you ever seen them say, no, mine? Actually, Philip, they all say that.
They're not a two-year-old, though.
Yeah, well, then, but they don't have to be taught to lie or to say, mine, no, they are to disobey. They don't have to be taught that because... Honestly and truthfully, Philip, we are all born little sinners. We just are. We're not born good. But that's another story.
No, we're not.
Well, good. We agree on that.
Everything is learned behavior.
Oh, no. You don't know. Then you are not a dick.
Then you will be.
You don't have to teach your kids to be evil. They learn. They do it all by themselves. That's the point. You don't have to teach. You don't. What parent teaches their two-year-old to say no? Mine. Nobody does that. It's just what kids know. That's their nature to be selfish, and we are by nature sinners. But that's
because at that age they need to have they need to survive. They need to have food. So what's their way of communicating with their mother? I need to be fed. Like, so they cry or whatever. I don't really know.
Listen, Philip, if you don't teach your children, they turn into little monsters and they grow up to embarrass you.
That's what
you.
I just said.
Okay,
what I said. If you teach them, then they will learn to be good, right?
Well, yes, I agree.
It's kind of like the dog, like vicious dogs. You ever seen a nice Rottweiler or whatever? Whatever the dogs are that are stereotyped to be vicious or mean.
Yeah. Okay,
it's the same. It's not the exact same thing, But yeah. It's the same concept.
Well, we have to disagree on that. Listen, I've had two children, and when you have an assignment, Philip, when you have a child, you just watch if you have to train them to be naughty, and I think you'll figure out that you don't have to. But I'm going to go on to Trump because you asked me about that, and you need an answer before we run out of time here. Look, a Christian has a different set of rules.
I grew up a Christian, by the way. I grew up that way.
Well, you know what? You can't really. That's something you actually don't catch by osmosis. Like, your parents can't hand that down to you. That's something that you have to do. Every child, every generation, every person, every individual has to make a decision to understand that Jesus died for their sins because it's a fallen world, and to repent, ask forgiveness for your own sins, and make him Lord of your life. That's a decision every person that becomes a Christian has to make. It's not something you, growing up at a church, doesn't, that's a form of godliness, but there's no power and no personal thing to that. But let me explain to you.
I'm not looking for that. I just want to answer on
okay.
the Trump thing.
All right, so you have some knowledge about Christian teaching is what you're saying to me. All right, so biblically,
exactly.
Listen, if Donald Trump had gone through that, election cycle, claiming to be a Christian, carrying around a big Bible, it would have been a very different thing if he had been a pastor of a church or if he'd been a deacon or something. But he's not.
He said the most important book in the world is the Bible.
Well, that could be true. But that doesn't mean that he his life shows that he did not embrace that personally. I think that those of us that are followers of Jesus understood that he was not. He said at one time, someone asked him if he'd ever asked for forgiveness. He said he never needed it. Well, that right there tells you, Philip, that he doesn't understand, at least at that time, did not understand the whole concept of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so our judgment of a man like that, my judgment as a Christian, is that he is completely and thoroughly was a secular man, a man of the world, a rich guy who did all kinds of really bad things. But he has the things that he said that he wanted to do for the country were really good things. So you had a choice between someone who did not claim personal faith in Christ. He said the Bible, he didn't boast. He didn't talk like he was something that he wasn't. He was pretty clear about his flaws. So we had a choice between him and someone named Hillary Clinton, who we knew what she would do and what her proposals and policies would be. And when we compared what his would be and what hers would be, we just had no choice. And so I have to say, I think President Trump has changed in office in a good way. I'm not making any bold declarations, but that's why there isn't any kind of conflict. I mean, heavens, you think being a Christian means you can only do business with people who acknowledge the Lordship of Christ, or only people can represent you that are exactly like you in terms of faith? We live in a society where that's not possible.
Not necessarily. I just think that maybe everyone, we can agree everyone's done some things that they would regret, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
So,
I sure have.
I mean,
hey, hold. Hang on a second. Rob, hold the break for about 5 minutes here. Let me talk to Philip a little bit longer. Okay, go ahead, Philip.
Are we still on? Or
yeah. We're on. So you were saying that everyone has stuff they regret.
Yeah, everyone has done their fair share of like things they regret. You know, do you think that Donald Trump regrets any of the things that he's done, or do you think that he's just been in a position of power for so long that it doesn't matter to him?
Well, you know, Philip,
I think it was either Aristotle or Plato. One of their things about democracy, they said that the rich, he thought that the rich were not good to rule people because they've been in positions of power. They don't know how to be
Okay, let me interrupt you.
They don't know how to be.
Yeah, regular people. They can't relate to the rest of us that are normal.
A middle class person would be perfect. Well, not perfect, but they'll be the best because they can mediate. They see all the things happening around them.
Okay.
They can relate to everyone.
Okay, let me respond to you, Philip.
Exactly.
Okay, first of all, I have no idea if Donald Trump. No, listen to me. I have no idea if Donald Trump regrets the stuff that he's done. I don't know. I hope that he does. I mean, I hope that he does, but I don't know. But again, I have to look at what he's doing. He's doing a lot of really good things, and I'm grateful for that.
Secondly,
let me tell you, Philip, I know a lot of wealthy people. I have friends that are wealthy, and I can tell you this firsthand, that money and the accumulation of wealth is not in itself a bad thing. I know a lot of really wealthy people who are beyond generous.
I'm not saying that.
Well, but it sounds like you are.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that it can become a thing that turns people a different way that they would like. I mean, it's not even intentional either. It's not like they're inherently bad people like that. It's just they get in their heads.
Well, wealth, you know what? No, there's no question that prosperity corrupts all of us. You know, having plenty and living in luxury can corrupt all of us. But I can tell you that there are some people that manage not to let that happen. And this is what I also see. I see people who from lower income groups and middle income groups who are filled with envy and just really covet the heck out of other people's things. Many of them are politicians, and so they tell us constantly about fairness and how the wealthy shouldn't deserve this and don't deserve that. Listen, that's a form of class envy, which Marx, of course, instilled into the dialogue, but it is part of human nature. We go back to the nature thing. Kids are normally, they are naturally envious, jealous. It's only the spirit of Jesus that changes our hearts on that. But that's our natural state. It's possible to have a lot of money and power and still be a good leader and still to do well. I'm not saying Donald Trump has managed that, but I'm telling you it is possible because I've known people like that.
Oh, anything's possible. I mean,
yes, no, but I've seen it. It isn't just theoretical. I'm telling you.
We can go down like all of your points, but whenever you said he's doing good things for the country, I'm not really sure if he is.
No, I know that he is, Philip. I know that he is. I could tell you a lot of things. I won't in this moment, but even just regulations alone, I'll just pick on that. You probably may not even be aware of all the regulations he's turned back and how that's freed up businesses and how it's also freed up individuals who have been just worn down.
Have you been affected by it?
No, I haven't. No, but businesses have, and I know that a lot of people, you may not even know the story. I told this yesterday, so forgive me if you've heard this, but I remember Gibson guitar was raided by SWAT teams under Barack Obama because they had used some kind of wood in making their guitar that was against some international law. It wasn't an American law. Gibson was nearly destroyed and also just totally frightened to death, the CEO of Gibson Guitar. I mean, I'm just saying that is just one of the thousands of regulations that were put into place under Barack Obama and his agencies that made people's lives miserable, that sort of broke their backs, that ruined some businesses. And so he's turning back those, and that's freeing up. It's giving us more freedom. And that's a very good thing, Philip. I also think in terms of international relations, we are moving to a place of strength as opposed to weakness. Like when it comes to the Islamists, the Islamic State has really been diminished. I think Kim Jong-un, is now reaching out, actually kind of weakening himself on his position in North Korea. I could go on and on. I'm just telling you, some really good things have taken place. Listen, I appreciate you listening. I've got to take a break, but I hope you stay listening, and I hope that we can talk again. God bless you, Philip, and, keep listening and asking those questions. Call anytime, okay?
Thanks.
Hey, my
pleasure.
Can I
say one last thing?
You can if you can do 15 seconds.
Yeah, I would just encourage everybody to take a look at Plato's criticisms of democracy, I think you could see a lot of parallels between that and today's society.
Okay, very interesting, Philip. Thank you very much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Often people refer to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches in excerpts and soundbites. We do well, however, to remember these words from the I Have a Dream speech. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. Our nation is more divided now than ever before in my lifetime. We must be careful not to confuse hatred and bitterness with righteous indignation. One leads towards God's heart being revealed. The other comes from the evil one.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Dove of Dove Soap. They released an ad with a transgender mother as part of its new Real Moms campaign celebrating motherhood. Now, I hate to point out the obvious here.
Janet Mefford.
But a guy can't be a mother. I don't care if you wear a wig and put on a dress and talk in a high voice and put on makeup. It doesn't make you a woman to be a man being a woman who isn't really a woman. You can't conceive a baby with two women. This is just madness. Join me for Janet Mefford Live, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is David Barton of Wall Builders Live, inviting you to join me here on American Family Radio this weekend. We take the ideas of the Founding Fathers and apply those ideas to the major issues of the day. Our guests include those who are in the headlines, as well as experts on issues facing this great nation. Along the way, you'll discover the role that faith has played in our nation's history, as well as in dealing with the issues we face right now. Join us Saturday afternoon at 2 Central here on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. For months, a dossier ostensibly about Donald Trump has been discredited as a product of Kremlin influence operators and a former British spy, sold as opposition research by Fusion GPS to Hillary Clinton's campaign. This document, nonetheless, was evidently used by the Obama administration to justify conducting surveillance of candidate Trump's team. Consequently, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes has long sought Justice Department and FBI records concerning the role this fabrication played in securing a secret court order for electronic monitoring of the Trump campaign. The congressman was systematically stiffed by both DOJ and the Bureau until last night, after the chairman and House Speaker Paul Ryan threatened Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray with criminal contempt of Congress. The requested information has now been promised. It's past time for a full accounting and full accountability. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All righty, Sandy Rios back with you. Just a couple of things. Philip, if you're still listening, someone suggested you might be a millennial. I don't know. You could be 75 for all I know. But if you are a millennial, we have an interesting outreach to millennials at AFA. It's called Engage Magazine. And you can go to engagemagazine.net or go to Facebook for Engage Magazine. And they'll get into discussions about maybe even Plato. Who knows? But it would be a great place for any of you who have are millennials or know of millennials who want to talk about those kinds of things. It's engagemagazine.net or Engage Magazine on Facebook. All right, so now we have limited time left. So what I'd like to do is when I go to your phone calls, can you think about the most important thing you want to share? And not because we won't have time to linger too much. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Sandy. Quick, United We Stand, Divide We Fall, Steve Bannon said that Donald Trump wants to make America great again. In World War One, when they wanted to conduct a truce, you'd have a sharpshooter aiming at an American troop from Germany, and yet he would not pull the trigger. If your enemy can keep from shooting you, why can't you keep from shooting yourself? And then John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, they both were at each other's throat at one time, but for the sake of the country at the end of it, they ended up being friends, so possibly still that could be, you know. And don't forget Yogi Berra, the opera ain't over till the fat woman stops singing, and she's still singing.
Well, that's, you know, that's what I was kind of alluding to, that in this particular news cycle, it's pretty discouraging, but so many things can change, and I am praying that there'll be resolution between the two of those, because the conservative movement needs to be united, and the President Trump does need to keep his promises. And I don't have confidence that with the likes of Mitch McConnell and his acolytes around the president in the White House, that those promises will be kept. We're seeing them right now talk about DACA, legalizing illegal immigrants that are here, trying to make deals on that. And so that would be, I think, upsetting to the base. And that's just one of the promises that the president made, was that he would build a wall and secure our borders. I think it's very important. So I hope they do unite. Steve, thanks a lot. Let's go to Cheryl. Is it Cheryl in Ohio?
Yes. Hi,
good morning.
Good morning. There are three things. You know, I think if Philip is asking questions and he's calling you, then he's at least listening to American radio or family radio. And I would encourage him to continue just having a daily diet on it. Plus, get into a strong Bible study to really learn God's word. I think he's got some misconceptions of what really is the nature of man. And for anyone who is out there who thinks that we are good at birth, get into your word. Listen to what God has to say to you. And then third, I would like to encourage your listeners to pick up a book from Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. And I think you can see so many amazing things in that book, from our small communities up to Washington. It is an eye-opener. And just pray for our country.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, Cheryl. Yes, especially the last word, pray for our country. You know, I have to confess, sometimes I don't pray as much as I should. I do pray. I pray all the time, pray without ceasing. I'm always aware of God constantly trying to live my life to honor him. But as far as on my knees praying about issues, I don't do it enough. And that's a very good reminder. I do, but in passing, because I'm like always praying, but I'm moving as I'm doing it. So it's just a good reminder. Cheryl, thanks a lot. That Frank Peretti book, This Present Darkness, was interesting. That was probably about, I'm guessing, 25 years ago. I'm guessing that was written, something like that. Very interesting book. I always say, you know, if people are seeking, you might not be ready to go to a Bible study, but I certainly challenge people to read God's Word. Find a translation that's readable. In other words, you don't want to do the old King James, not if you're not used to reading. And I always suggest beginning with the book of Luke, just to get the story by the doctor, Dr. Luke, and then just going on, reading Luke and then John, and then reading on through the New Testament. That's where I suggest people start. Because John, of course, gives us some deep perspective about who Jesus was. And then the Gospels fill in the blanks about how we should then live and how we can understand it all. So, Philip, if you're still listening, that's what I would recommend to you. You might find John just as interesting as Plato. Let's see. I think you would, actually. All right. So let me go. Phone number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Kevin in Indiana. Good morning, Kevin.
Morning, Sandy. I'll rip through these. Philip, you are definitely in my prayers, bro. Second of all, anybody, any old man who says he's going to break a young man like an egg has most certainly shown his lack of character, right, to say such a vile thing about another human being that you look at people like that. I think as far as supporting President Trump, I remember it was in the beginning, and I think supporting President Trump is the most Christian thing I've ever done because it was hard to get on, but it's what I'm doing because, again, it's a Christian thing to do, and I pray for my country every day. I pray for you, Sandy, too.
Thanks, Kevin.
And honestly, I don't to Philip, you should. I'm not saying to dismiss Aristotle and those gentlemen. Take more context out of the Bible and less out of Greek. And also, you might have been referring to Socrates, I hate to say. So, but that's it. And Sandy, I wish you the best. Have a great day. Bye bye.
Yes, thanks a lot, Kevin. You know, there's nothing wrong with reading the great philosophers. I think it's a good exercise, and I'm not afraid of any of that. I'm not afraid of any of that input because I really learned through the years, having traveled so much, I've been in so many different cultures, that all truth is God's truth. You know, some cultures embrace, there are some common truths among cultures, and that just simply means that all truth is God's truth. And it's an affirmation of faith, and then you have to sort of sort out things and read them in context of what Scripture says. And then you'll find that the Scripture actually makes a great deal of sense. I always refer to my sweet husband, who became a Christian later in life, actually after we met, and he said to me, you know, this makes life make sense. Life makes sense now in the context of understanding who God is. And so I just say that the Bible will help you make sense of it all. Plato will help you think, Aristotle too, and it's good to think. Nothing wrong with thinking, but the Bible will help set your mind straight and help you figure out all of it and make it make a lot more sense. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Mississippi. He's been waiting for a long time. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you doing?
Good. Quickly, if you can, Kevin.
Oh, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable to my Lord. There's so much rock throwing going on now, and it seems to me that looking at things that our Senate is the big problem in our country, the news media, that's what's the common news media of the people is pretty bad and not a good place to get news at all. I don't know about this new book that's out. It's very unfortunate for all of us.
Yes, it is. Yep. Kevin, you got it right. Okay, let's go to Shar in South Carolina. Good morning, Shar. You have the last word, ma'am.
Okay.
Charlie.
First of all, I want to make it clear that there is no real distinction. They're just different sides of the same coin. Between the Democrats who are openly socialist, now socialist in the sense of totalitarian and slavery, and the Republican establishment. They have the same goals. They come out with the same policies. They fund the same stuff. And them being able to get away with what they got away with to keep Roy Moore out of the Senate, combined with this book, are watershed moments for them, particularly now that it's leading to DACA and abandoning the voter fraud investigation. It's Katie barred the door.
Yeah.
Trump, the people around Trump, from McMaster to Tillerson to Ray, and so on and so forth. Even McAleenan, who's an open borders type that's running the Border Patrol. What can he do when the people implementing policy are on the...
I know. Charlie, listen, you've got... All of those are great points. You can hear I'm out of time. But you need to call back and we'll have a longer discussion. I haven't even talked about the new head of the Department of Homeland Security. She's a disaster. You're right about that. So we need to be on our knees praying to God for his mercy for our country. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.